So here we are in the next segment. So as I mentioned before, what if history's bullshit? What if it's all crapola? And that means my master's degree in history and my bachelor's degree in history are a study in bullshit. That's what that means. And you say, well, Dan, you put all that effort into it. Don't you have some cognitive dissonance bullshit going on? I got a little. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, if you were to tell me, it's kind of like what I said, and this isn't sour grapes. My choices also are why I'm in a tent. But if you were to tell me what would be going on in 2023 at this point in human history, when I was in high school, it's possible you would have gotten one of two responses. One might have been shock, but honestly, if it was shock, it would be followed by, okay, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of a sci-fi film nut, in a way, and I find these weird sleeper films, these films that, you know, a lot of people didn't see. One of them is something called DEFCON 4. If you've ever seen it, never seen it, I think it came out in the mid-80s, it's a pretty good film about nuclear warfare and the aftermath. Yeah. Nuclear warfare and the aftermath. So what if history is bullshit? What if, and again, you know, if you're studying history at the university, I make a couple suggestions. One, the books you read, the secondary sources, look at where they're published. Look at who publishes them. Especially if you're in graduate school and you're like Uncle Dan and you find yourself reading a lot of shit from the Brookings Institution or the RAND Corporation. So be critical of your sources. That's a good step A. But that also applies to primary texts too. You have to understand that the history of archaeology more or less coincides with the history of forgery. I mean, these two things go together. And there have been many, and in fact, I would even say anthropology. But within the fields of archaeology and anthropology, there have been a lot of fakers, a lot of forgers, a lot of people who stated claims about some magical proto-human that he found down the road and blah, blah, blah. So you need to be really careful of that too. If you're looking at primary sources, be willing to ask the question, could this be bullshit? Because throughout history, even modern historical studies, there have been historians who were hoodwinked. They believe crap. I don't care if it's Hitler's lost diary or any other kind of ridiculous bullshit. Art historians, regular historians, anthropologists, and archaeologists have been hoodwinked throughout history because forgers get better at what they do. I mean, imagine for a second something called quantum forging. Again, this would be god-awful expensive. But imagine, imagine for a moment, put on your imagination helmet. You know I have. But imagine you could map out the quantum states of every atom and every molecule in an object. And for all intents and purposes, when you get to the quantum scale, the word copy is almost meaningless. But imagine you could do this, and then you could take a chunk of, let's call it, proto-matter, like in Star Trek, and entangle the two. And so that the current state of this object matches the other state, and then it gets worse from there. Imagine again, using the same technology, you could go into the object and you could edit it. Edit in such ways that, for again, from a quantum perspective, you'd never know. You could edit the structure. You say, I found the lost amulet of the sacred people of Drangosia, but it really is just a very, very good copy. And what's worse is that the etchings on it are false. Like, maybe the dude has the original, but what you have is a copy. And it's a good copy. It's a perfect copy. From a quantum perspective, it's equivalent, but with editing. Now, do we have that technology today? I don't know. I mean, it's like these conversations I have with my friend. You know, look at the jet engine. Look at the automobile engine. Look at space travel and air travel. And keep in mind, in the 60 years plus that space has been a thing, less than 700 people have been there. So look at these other things. Don't get caught up in the von Neumann, Ray Kurzweil singularity bullshit, because frankly, it seems to just apply to dog collars, aka smart devices. But look at these other technologies. I mean, yeah, are we polishing the candle? Sure. But are we coming up with light bulbs? Not really. So you could ask the question, is there technology that an elite people have that ordinary people don't have? And I think that is a fair question. It's hard to say. I mean, we don't really live in a free society. So the idea that they would keep technology to themselves as elite, I mean, why not? What am I to, how can I figure out the truth there, really? And you're going to say, well, how is this connected to history? Well, here's how it's all connected. My friend has been researching this. I've come across it. I have a friend from Utah who I lived with for a couple years who also, you know, was interested in the subject of what if the timeline of history, what if the context of history, what if history itself is a manufactured, made-up thing? So that, you know, what if the Roman Empire didn't collapse? And I should say the Western Roman Empire. What if the Western Roman Empire didn't collapse in the 5th century AD? What if it collapsed 100 years ago? I mean, it sounds absurd, sounds crazy, and yet, especially if you go down that road of simulation theory, you can let yourself kind of imagine. Me personally, I'm a Christian, so it's hard for me to believe this for one reason, and that is the word in the Bible. Because that would also imply that the biblical history could be false. And then you have to ask the question, what is discernment? What is the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is real, wouldn't it transcend the editing, the manipulation? I mean, we know there was a Council of Nicaea. We know that books that were considered, dogmatic or at least acceptable were rejected from the New Testament. We know this. We know that they edited the New Testament down to a few books. And again, I'm not saying all the choices were bad, but it's clearly the case that many, many books were rejected. And some books are called apocryphal in a sense, like the Book of Enoch, even though it gets referenced throughout the Bible. So it's one of those things you have to say to yourself, okay, could it be the case that much of this history, like the Bible, is edited, controlled, manipulated? And unlike the Bible, because it's a secular thing, you're kind of stuck there. I mean, I think with the Word of God, you still have the realization, the reification of the Holy Spirit. This is a belief. You can call me crazy. That's okay. But with respect to like some book written by some nut at the Rand Corporation, there's no Holy Spirit there. There's a spirit, well, more like a demon, but there's no Holy Spirit involved in this, you know? It's just a question of how much of their crap do you want to believe? And at this point in my life, I would say at this point in my life, especially when it comes to outer space, I am rationally, logically disappointed. Like if I think about the promise of every decade after I was born of what outer space would be, I am kind of thinking to myself, it looks like a big joke. And maybe, you know, we're this close, we're really just this close to like breaking out into space and upping that number. Because right now it's rookie numbers. And to get to space, to get the number, you only have to go up about 60 miles. So when you really think about it, a lot of these folks really never went beyond about 150, 200 miles above the surface of the Earth. Yeah. Lindbergh, you know, covered, I think, a couple thousand miles in his plane, but of course, that was easy. Well, he didn't have to go up into outer space. No, he did not. He just had to cross the Atlantic alone. And I would guess the 10 years after Lindbergh, probably more than 700 people crossed the Atlantic. It's just a theory. But it's been 6 decades of space, and the numbers are still just absurdly low for unique people. I'm not saying trips. Dan, there's been many trips. I'm talking about the unique set of people who've coasted to space. And the next part of this is coming up. We'll continue.